Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasant in your sight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Amen. Who can tell me what this is? Oh, surely someone must recognize. Not you younger folks in the back, but a map. Yes, exactly. Exactly. An actual printed guide to roads and highways. I know it's hard for the young people here today to accept, but you in the back there, but before the advent of the global positioning system known as GPS, or before the advent even of MapQuest, back in ye olden days, way back when, this is how we actually navigated our way around the country. Of course, the difficult part was getting them back together. There was a time, however, when every glove compartment of every Studebaker or DeSoto in the country was stuffed with those things. Years ago, I actually drove all the way to Dallas, Texas, and back using just one of those things. Of course, it was never folded properly, but it got me back, and I only got lost once. Now, at first glance, we might assume that today's gospel reading is a sort of a roadmap for the highway to heaven. The landmarks, after all, are clearly shown for us. We are told to feed the hungry, welcome strangers, care for the sick, and so on. We are told if we care for those who are less fortunate than us, we become righteous and can expect eternal life. It really does seem very simple, but it's not. This is such a tempting story. It draws us in to what seems to be a straightforward account of God's judgment. Here it is directly connected to reaching out to those in need, specifically to the least of these. We are called to care for those who have no champion, those who are ill, addicted, or homeless in our society. These, after all, are God's favorites, those he sees in a special way. You may recall from that gospel reading just moments ago, Jesus even refers to them as members of my family. It's also clear from the reading, those who face condemnation do not do so for the evil that they have done. No, on the contrary, they are condemned for the good that they did not do. None of us, not any of us, will get by simply by giving lip service to Christian beliefs and then sitting out on the sidelines. If we avoid engagement, we will not avoid judgment. When our time comes and we stand before St. Peter and say, "Well, gosh, I never actually hurt anybody," that will not get any of us a gate pass. But let's get back to the real point of this gospel reading. One that may not be so very apparent at first glance. You see, this is a very sad reading. In fact, it's almost tragic. To understand why, you must notice those who have been gathered at the right hand of the Lord, the ones who are called blessed, those people that we would want to be among, have just one response for Jesus. They all say, "Lord, when? When was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food? Or thirsty and we gave you something to drink?" They seem confused, clueless. And all they can think of to say is, "When?" And therein lies the sadness, because they missed out on the very best part. All of those who were saved, those good sheep, they were doing what was right. They went through the motions of doing all the correct things, but they apparently missed out on the greatest joy of their actions. They missed seeing the Lord. They never recognized the hidden presence of God in the faces of those they helped. Back in 2007, while speaking in support of the Millennium Goals, the poet and musician Bono said, "God is in the slums, in the cardboard boxes where the poor play house. God is in the silence of a mother who has infected her child with a virus that will end both their lives. God is in the cries heard under the rubble of war. God is in the debris of wasted lives and opportunities. And God is with us if we are with them." But sometimes those we try to help don't seem to appreciate our efforts. We may not hear the heartfelt "thank you" that we felt we had coming to us. Besides, we often don't witness any lasting benefits from our efforts. What's more, the least of these are almost always partly responsible for whatever needs and problems that make them the least. And frankly speaking, they just don't look or act the same way that we would imagine that Jesus should. So, reaching out to feed, clothe, and otherwise minister to the least of these can be very frustrating. And it can become easy to feel burned out. In our exhaustion, we may even want to give it all up. You would think that doing the right thing and serving Christ shouldn't be so difficult as it may often seem to be. After all, being nice to someone difficult because you think that Jesus wants you to is still being nice to someone who is a difficult person. Spending your money or energy out of your Christian conviction that it is the right thing to do still means that you'll never have that money or that effort back again. But the Lord calls us to service, to serve those who we hold close to us and those others, the least of these. And there are no excuses. But there is always an upside. No matter how difficult it may seem, Jesus also invites us to share his presence, to see his face in those that we serve. So, how can this be done? Well, here's a couple of suggestions. First, to see the Lord, we have to look. I mean, seriously and deliberately look as we remember what we are doing and why we're doing it. Secondly, if we want Jesus to show himself, it really helps if we ask him to. And admittedly, sometimes we must ask more than once. But we should always ask him to be known in what it is that we do in support of those in need. Today is the date on our church calendar set aside for us as the Feast of Christ the King Sunday. It is a relatively new addition. It was not established until 1925 by Pope Pius XI. It was created at a time where God seemed to be losing ground. World War I had taken a heavy toll, and the powers of nationalism and secularism were on the rise. It was hoped that this new edition would serve notice. The church has the rights of freedom and immunity from oppressive governments. It was also to bring new faith and courage to Christians everywhere. As we look around our nation today at the extreme right and alt-left rallies taking place, while the rich seem to be getting richer and the rest of us seem to flounder, this feast day still seems pretty relevant. It has never been easy to be a Christian. And I can only suggest that we pray. And if our prayers do not ask the Lord to make himself known to us in our efforts to care for the least of these and ourselves, then we risk missing out on the best part of all. We risk missing the presence of Jesus that can transform any mundane task into an opportunity for joy and insight. Today's gospel story of judgment is more than just a call to serve, more than a call to lead a good life and do the right things. It is all of that, but the greater part of the message is to search for and recognize the face of Christ among those that we reach out to. For he is there among the homeless and the sick. He is there waiting with those damaged souls and broken bodies for us to open our eyes and our hearts to see him. This is the message in today's gospel, to open our eyes and